Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're continuing to increase our meditation on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Advent, his Advent is coming up on Wednesday. On that day, Amala Bhakta Maharaj will be reading about the Advent. But in the meantime, we've heard some of the philosophical reasons why Lord Chaitanya is accepted as the Supreme Person. That was the early part of the Adi Leela. And now we're going to jump a little bit ahead and hear about his childhood pastimes, even though he hasn't appeared yet. So, but anywhere, we dive into the nectar of Chaitanya Leela. It's good for us. I'm swimming in an ocean of nectar. Somebody posted a nice painting on Facebook yesterday or the day before. It says that if you ride the waves of Chaitanya Leela, it will take you to the ocean of Krishna Leela. And there was a nice painting of Panchatattva and then Radha Krishna. So that's a fact. Lord Chaitanya, we know Krishna comes to attract us by his wonderful, incomparable pastimes. But in order to enter into that ocean of Krishna Leela, we have to take advantage of and immerse ourselves in Chaitanya Leela. So in this chapter 14, Adi Leela, Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. We'll read the chapter summary and then we'll do a bunch of verses. We'll see how far we get. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a summary of this chapter in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya. Quote, in the 14th chapter, there is a description of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed his childhood pastimes, crawling, crying, eating dirt, and giving intelligence to his mother, favoring a Brahmana guest, riding on the shoulders of two thieves, and misleading them to his own house, and on the plea of being diseased, taking prasadam in the house of Hiranya and Jagadish on the Ekadashi day. The chapter further describes how he displayed himself as a naughty boy, how when his mother fainted, he brought a coconut to her on his head, how he joked with girls of the same age on the banks of the Ganges, how he accepted worshipful paraphernalia from Srimati Lakshmi Devi, how he sat down in a garbage pit and instructed his mother in transcendental knowledge, how he left the pit on the order of his mother, and how he dealt with his father with full affection. So we're very fortunate here. We have the Catholic Church, they're proud of their Sistine Chapel with depiction of Christian theology on the ceiling, but we have Chaitanya Leela here on our ceiling. And so, to give an idea of childhood pastimes, we have this painting in the corner here. Maybe it's not mentioned in this chapter that we're going to read, but we can relate that maybe if there is time. Beautiful pastime of Lord Chaitanya in his childhood. So text 1. Katanchana smrte yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet smrte vipari tang syat Sri Chaitanyang Namamitam. Translation. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. So Kaviraj Maharaj is telling us of the importance of thinking always about Lord Chaitanya. Very nice verse to remember all the time. Things that are difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm sure many of you have had that experience. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. In his book, Chaitanya Chandramrita, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says, quote, one who receives a little favor from the Lord becomes so exalted that he does not even care. He does not care even for liberation, which is sought after by many great scholars and philosophers. Similarly, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya considers residence in the heavenly planets a will-o'-the-wisp. He surpasses the perfection of mystic yoga power because for him, the senses are like snakes with broken fangs. End of quote. A snake is a very fearful and dangerous animal because of his poison fangs. But if these fangs are broken, the appearance of a snake is no cause for fear. The yoga principles are meant to control the senses, but there is no scope for the senses of one engaged in the service of the Lord to be dangerous like snakes. These are the gifts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is a very nice verse that's also worth memorizing. Kaivalyam Narakayate. You can look that one up. Continuing. The Hari Bhakti Vilas confirms that difficult things become easy to understand if one remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And easy things become very difficult to understand if one forgets him. We actually see that even those who are very great scientists in the eyes of the general public cannot understand the very simple idea that life comes from life, because they do not have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They defend the false understanding that life comes from matter, although they cannot prove that this is a fact. Modern civilization, therefore, progressing on the basis of this false scientific theory, is simply creating problems to be solved by the so-called scientists. So, a very easy way to present that, you know, I speak in colleges a lot, just say, we all have experience of this life coming from life. Dogs give birth to dogs, cats give birth to cats, birds to birds, etc. We don't have any experience of things just popping out of matter. And if those, like Prabhupada said here, if they say that this is a fact, then they should prove it. They have not proven it. They've been presenting this theory now for a long time, and they have not proven that life can arise from dead matter. Continuing, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to describe the pastimes of his appearance as a child, because one cannot write such transcendental literature by mental speculation. One who writes about the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be especially favored by the Lord. Simply by academic qualifications, it is not possible to write such literature. Text 2. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhu Rakahila Janma Leela Sutra Yashoda Nandana Yaiche Haila Shachi Putra. I have thus described in brief the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as the son of Mother Shachi, exactly as Krishna appeared as the son of Mother Yashoda. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms the statement that now Lord Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, has appeared again as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becoming the son of Mother Shachi. Vrajendra Nandanaye Shachi Suta Hoyla Se Balarama Hoyla Nitai. The son of Sachi is none other than the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And Nityananda Prabhu is the same Balaram. So, when we are worshipping Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, we understand clearly that they are not, although they're in the mood of devotees, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and His immediate first expansion, Lord Balaram. And why do they come? Why do they come again in this particular manifestation? In that song, the next verse explains, Dina hina yata chilo, hare nama udarilo, tarasakshi jagai madai. We also have that painting here. That they came to spread this hare nama, chanting of hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, hare hare, hare Rama, Rama Rama, hare. And by so doing, deliver all the fallen rascals of this age, Kali. And the evidence, Tar Sakshi, Jagai Madai. They were such horrible individuals, committing all sinful activities, up to and including murder. And still, they were delivered by Lord Chaitanya, by his agent, Nityananda. So, text 4. Sankshepa kahila janma lila anukrama eve kaya balya lila sutra ganana. I have already briefly spoken about the pastimes of his birth in chronological order. Now I shall give a synopsis of his childhood pastimes. Vande chaitanya krishna sya balya lila manoharam laukikim apitangisha cheshtaya valitantaram. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna himself. Although such pastimes appear exactly like those of an ordinary child, they should be understood as various pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is kind of a conundrum. Lord Chaitanya did not want to be disturbed in his mood of being a devotee, but at the same time, his followers, including us, should know that he's the Supreme Person. And we should think like that. So, purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, text 11, this statement is confirmed as follows. Avajananti mang mudha manashim tanamashitam parambhava majananto mamambhuta maheshwaram. Translation, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. End of translation. To execute his pastimes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet or within this universe like an ordinary human being or human child. Yet, he maintains his superiority as the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna appeared as a human child, but his uncommon activities, even in his childhood, like the killing of the demon Putana or the lifting of Govardhan Hill, were not the engagements of an ordinary child. Similarly, although the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, as they will be described in this chapter, appear like the activities of a small boy, they are uncommon pastimes impossible for an ordinary human child to execute. Text 6. Balyalila age parbura utana shayan pita mataya de kaila chinnan charan. In his first childhood pastimes, the Lord turned upside down while lying on his bed, and thus he showed his parents the marks of his lotus feet. Purport. The word utana is also used to mean lying down on the bed face upwards, or lying down flat on the bed. In some readings, the word is uthana, which means standing up. In his childhood pastimes, the Lord tried to catch the wall and stand up. But as an ordinary child falls down, so the Lord also fell down and again took to lying on his bed. Text 7. Grihe doi jana deki lagu padanchina tahe shobe dwaja vadra shanka chakramina. Now this is very important to meditate on. When the Lord tried to walk, in his small footprints, the specific marks of Lord Vishnu were visible, namely the flag, thunderbolt, kanchal, disc, and fish. So as I've mentioned several times, these symbols on the lotus feet of the Lord, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Radharani, these indicate that these symbols are eternal manifestations. They're not modern creations. Like people say, well, the fish evolved at such and such. No, a fish form is an eternal form. The markings on the Lord's lotus feet, here Lord Chaitanya is mentioned, are eternal. They're eternal. They're not something that comes and goes. And you'll notice, this fish form is there on Krishna's lotus feet, is there on Radharani's lotus feet, and now here Lord Chaitanya. That means the form of a fish is an eternal form. It's not something that evolves like Darwin says, that evolves at a certain point in time. A fish form is an eternal form. The conch shell, which indicates a conch, you don't get a shell without a conch, which means the conch form is also an eternal form. The disc, obviously, eternal. So these are all eternal. Flag. A flag is not something that was invented at some point in time. It's an eternal symbol. So all of these symbols are eternal. They're not something that comes up, you know, in the modern age or something like that. We should not be bewildered by these statements. Dekhiya don hara chitte janmila vishmai kara pada china gare na paya nishchay. Seeing all these marks, neither his father nor his mother could understand whose footprints they were. Thus struck with wonder, they could not understand how those marks could be possible in their home. Covered. Mishra kahe balagopala ache shila sange tenho murtihana gare kele jani rangi. Jagannath Mishra said, quote, certainly child Krishna is with the Shalagram Shila. Taking his childhood form, he is playing within the room. Purport. When the form of the Lord is carved from wood, stone, or any other element, it is to be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. Even logically, we can understand that all material elements are expansions of the energy of the Lord. Since the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is non-different from his personal body, the Lord is always present in his energy, and he manifests himself on account of the ardent desire of a devotee. Since the Lord is supremely powerful, it is logical that he can manifest himself in his energy. Deity worship or worship of the Shalagram Shila is not idol worship. The deity of the Lord in the house of a pure devotee can act exactly as he can in his original transcendental personality. Kshane jagini mai kare krandan onkelana shachi tanre piai listan. Translation. While Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra were talking, child Nimai woke up and began to cry. And Mother Shachi took him on her lap and allowed him to suck her breast. So this is completely amazing. You don't find any other religious or spiritual tradition where they understand or present that God manifests childhood pastimes. Everybody wants to worship God as a Supreme Father in awe and reverence, which is good. It's better than not believing in God. But Prabhupada points out that when you see God only as Father, then the natural tendency is to always approach and beg for something. Because that's the relationship between the Father and the children. The Father provides, and the children simply ask all the time, Daddy, give me this, Daddy, give me that. And that's the mood of most religious traditions. Oh God, give us our daily bread. Oh God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. But when one advances to the point of the Vaishnava understanding, then the Vaishnava becomes the parent of God, father of God, mother of God, which means the devotee wants to take care of God, not seeing him anymore as the supreme absolute, but seeing him as a dependent child. That's a great leap from just trying to understand God as a supreme father. And so we're very, very fortunate, and we should really meditate on that. We are extremely fortunate to come in contact with this line of understanding where we can meditate on the childhood pastimes of God. We can understand how Lord Chaitanya manifestation as a child, how we can see here in this particular pastime, the huge cobra has come into the yard and child Nimai is playing with the cobra and the parents are about to die because they think at any moment he's going to be bitten and he's going to die. God cannot die. God cannot die. And that snake was actually Shesha. But the parents, in that mood of parents, we have some parents in the room here, you know, when a child is young, always worried. They may stick their finger in an electrical socket. They may fall off the balcony. They may run out in the traffic. You know, so many things. So you're constantly worried how to protect this child. So that was the mood of Chachimata and Jagannath Mishra. How to protect this child, not understanding that he's the Supreme Person. Sana piyayite putra charandekila. While Mother Shachi was feeding the child from her breast, she saw on his lotus feet all the marks that were visible on the floor of the room, and she called for Jagannath Mishra. Dekhiya Mishra Haila Anandita Mati Gupte Balaila Nilam Bhara Chakravarti. When Jagannath Mishra saw the wonderful marks on the sole of his son, he became very joyful and privately called for Nilam Bhara Chakravarti. So who's Nilambara Chakravarti? He's the father of Chachimata. So he's Lord Chaitanya's grandfather. Chinadeki Chakravarti Balina Hasia Lagnagani Purve Ami Raki Aichelikia. When Nilambara Chakravarti saw those marks, he smilingly said, quote, formerly I ascertained all this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. Patrisha Lakshana Mahapurusha Bhushana Eshisha Ange Deki Se Sabalakshana. There are 32 bodily marks that symptomize a great personality, and I see all those marks on the body of this child. Panchadirga Pancha Sukshma Saptarakta Sadunataha Sri Hashva Pritagambhiro Dwatringsha Lakshano Mahan. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great personality. 5 of his bodily parts are large, 5 fine, 7 reddish, 7 raised, 3 small, 3 broad, and 3 grave, purport. The 5 large parts are the nose, arms, chin, eyes, and knees. The 5 fine parts are the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair on the body, and hair on the head. The 7 reddish parts are the eyes, soles, palms, palate, nails, and upper and lower lips. The 6 raised parts are the chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. The 3 small parts are the neck, thighs, and male organ. The 3 broad parts are the waist, forehead, and chest. The 3 grave parts are the navel, voice, and existence. Although these are the 32 symptoms of a great personality, this is a quotation, I'm sorry, altogether, these are the 32 symptoms of a great personality. This is a quotation from Samudrika. Narayanera chinna yukta shri hasta charan eshishu sarva loke karivetaran. This baby has all the symptoms of Lord Narayana on his palms and soles. He will be able to deliver all the three worlds. Eta karibe vaishnava dharmira prachar iha haite habe dwe kulera nishtar. This child will preach the Vaishnava cult and deliver both his maternal and paternal families. Purport. Only Narayana himself or his bona fide representative can preach the cult of Vaishnavism or devotional service. When a Vaishnava is born, he delivers both his maternal and paternal families simultaneously. Mahotsava kara sabam bola ha brahman ajidina bhala koribe namakaran. I propose to perform a name-giving ceremony. We should observe a festival and call for the brahmanas because today is very auspicious. So that doesn't mean that he didn't already have a name, obviously. When he was born, he was immediately named Nimai because he was born under a neem tree, like that. So he already had name, but now it's the official name-giving ceremony. Purport. It is a Vedic principle to observe a festival in connection with Narayana and brahmanas. Giving a child a particular name is among the purificatory processes known as Dashavida Sanskar. And on the day of such a ceremony, one should observe a festival by worshipping Narayana and distributing prasadam, chiefly among the brahmanas. When Nilambar Chakravarti, Shachi Mata, and Jagannath Mishra understood from the marks on the Lord's lotus feet that Chal Nimai was not an ordinary child, but an incarnation of Narayana, they decided that on that very same day, which was very auspicious, they would observe a festival for his name-giving ceremony. In this connection, we can particularly see how an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ascertained by his bodily symptoms, his activities, and the prediction of the Shastras. By factual evidence, a person can be accepted as an incarnation of God, not whimsically, or by the votes of rascals and fools. There have been many imitation incarnations in Bengal since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. But any impartial devotee or learned man can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as an incarnation of Krishna, not on the basis of popular votes, but by evidence from the Shastras and bona fide scholars. It was not ordinary man who accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, his identity was ascertained by learned scholars like Nilambar Chakravarti, and later all his activities were confirmed by the six Goswamis, especially Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami, and many other learned scholars with evidence from the Shastra. An incarnation of God is such from the very beginning of his life. It is not that by performing meditation one can become an incarnation of God all of a sudden. Such false incarnations are meant for fools and rascals, not sane men. So as we heard from this morning's reading, Suvasa's reading, the 26 qualities of a devotee. So quality number 18, sane. And sanity is sadly very much lacking in today's society. We have now a society of mostly insane men and women. People are insane. Why do they become insane? Madness is one of the six enemies of the living entity in the material existence. Kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, and matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. These are the six enemies of the conditioned soul. And madness comes when one is living a tamasic lifestyle. The mode of ignorance, tamaguna, pushes one into madness. Lust, kama, leads to anger. When lust is not satisfied, one becomes angry. And gradually, one glides down into tamasic lifestyle and madness takes over. So yesterday was it, or the day before, we had this mad person in New Zealand shot up two mosques, killed 49 people. This is madness. Because people don't know who they are. And Prabhupada said this is one of the symptoms, one of the signs of insanity. If I ask you who you are, and you tell me, let's say I ask Bhakta Devin, who are you? And he all of a sudden stands up and says, I'm Donald Trump. We would all think, Devin has lost it. He's gone. He doesn't know who he is. He's thinking he's Donald Trump. Next thing he'll be asking us for money to build a border wall. He doesn't know who he is. So this is one of the symptoms of insanity. To not know who you are is a symptom of insanity. And conditioned life of the living entity means we don't know who we are. We're walking around thinking that we're black or white or young or old or fat or thin or Hindu or Muslim or Christian. So this mad fellow thinks that he's white, and he thinks that whites should be supreme. And these Muslim people, they're ruining the world, so let me kill them. This is insanity. And this is what happens. When people are raised in this kind of insane consciousness, this is what happens. It's not just a play, it's not, you know, playtime. When people are left to this kind of insane thinking, they do insane things, like what this guy did. They plan, and you know, you don't just wake up one day and go shoot up a mosque. He was planning, and he bought all these weapons. When they busted into his car, there were still more guns lying there. You know, or like this guy who shot up Las Vegas not so long ago here in America. These people they glide gradually into insanity, and they make mad plans. So it is, the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to prevent this kind of madness by informing us, no, you're not black, you're not white, you're not young, old, fat, or thin. You're not Muslim, you're not Christian, you're not Hindu. Just because you're born into a Hindu family or a Muslim family or a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. God is not Christian or Jew or Hindu. God is God. God is not black or white. God is God. So when people are taught these very basic things, they can begin to escape the clutches of madness. But if left to their own devices, like this guy, when they interviewed people, he was from some suburb in Australia. When they interviewed people there, they said, we remember him as such a happy boy, just like every other boy on the block. So these kind of mad ideas come gradually. Not that he was necessarily born insane like this, but gradually, if you're left to your own devices to figure out what life is all about, you come to some erroneous conclusions that my race or my religious group should be dominant and everybody else should be. So why? Why? Why should the Christians be dominant, or the Hindus, or the Muslims, or anybody else? Or why should blacks or whites be dominant? It's all madness. It's all madness. I'm not done yet. It's all madness. So we have to very carefully avoid these insane ideas in our own minds and allow our minds to be cleansed by this hearing and repeating and putting into practice this Vaishnava theology, Vaishnava lifestyle. And then when we are pretty sane ourselves, we can start to help others. Just like a person who is a drunk can't help other drunks. First you have to become sober. Then you can help others to come to the platform of sobriety. So similarly, we have to become sane ourselves, and then we can inform others. So we have to examine our own hearts and minds. Am I still walking around thinking that I'm black or white or Christian or Muslim or from this tradition or that tradition? We're none of those things. We have nothing to do with these things. The spirit soul has nothing to do with these things. We've inhabited so many bodies, 8,400,000 different species of life. We all used to be whales. We all used to be cockroaches. We don't walk around now thinking, I used to be a cockroach. I'm so proud of that. No. So why should I be proud of this body? I wasn't proud of the cockroach body or the whale body or the elephant body. Why should I be proud of this body? It's madness. It's complete madness. So we have to disabuse ourselves of these false understandings, these upadis, these coverings, thinking that I'm South Indian. Not only Indian, but I'm South Indian. You see? Madness. Madness. So we really have to get rid of it. Don't think like that. Think of yourself as being a servant of the Lord. Our Dravida wrote a nice poem. I am not black. I am not white. I am not yellow or green. I am not a boy. I am not a girl. I am not in between. I am the servant of 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 the Lord. This is our identity. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So this is why Krishna consciousness is so important. Okay, actually, yeah, I will stop there after this verse. If there are any questions, comments. Yes. Microphone. Bhajapati Prabhu has a comment, question? Okay.
Prabhu, I just wanted to see, you know, when we speak of the Lord and His associates coming, we spoke about that yesterday. Obviously, it was mentioned that Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna Nanya, the combined form. But then we have Gadadhar Pandit, who is also Radharani. In the Panchatattva manifestation, Lord Chaitanya is exhibiting the mood of Radharani. But as Gadadhar Pandit, who is Radharani herself, we don't see any of that bhav or mood. Is there any reason in, or is there any explanation as to the mood of Gadadhar Pandit as because she's Radharani herself, but Lord Chaitanya is the one who is obviously exhibiting, and then Gadadhar Pandit is more like very subtle. So is there anywhere
where the explanation is? That's a good question, but we have to understand the Lord and His expansions and His internal energy, Radharani, they don't only have like one mood. They have many moods. Sometimes in Krishna Leela, Radharani seems to be subservient to Krishna's desires, and other times she's not. She's feisty and fiery. So in this manifestation, as Gadadhar, externally seemed to be more, like you said, not in that kind of mood, but her mood privately, or his mood privately towards Lord Chaitanya, was kind of that of Radharani towards Krishna. We have evidence of that in the scripture. So, but again, we should not think that the Lord or His expansions or His internal energy, Radharani, are limited in any way. They can show and do show so many wide variety of emotions and moods, and they're not necessarily locked in. So, although Radharani, you may be thinking of in a certain way, in the qualities listed for Radharani, she's one of them is gravity. She's very great. And she's very respectful. Govarpita Guru Sneha. She's very respectful to the elders. She has that grave side also. It's not just what you might think. Okay, some other question or comment? Yes. What is your name, Prabhu?
My name is Shashank.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Hare Krishna. You are talking about the insanity and the cause being the mode of ignorance, the ignorant way, the lifestyle is causing the insanity in people. But even if you see the people who are living in the mode of goodness, like the practicing spiritual people, like mostly like impersonalists, like, you know, they study that they are not the body, they are the spirit soul. But still you see the same insanity, thinking that I am God, you can become God, you know, some sort of thing. So what exactly gets out of insanity? Is it just the mode of goodness, or just mode of not practicing, mode of ignorance get you out of insanity, or what exactly requires?
Good question. So the three modes of nature impel us to act in different ways. And they're very rarely that you're going to find anybody who's purely in one mode or the other. So, and Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita, that the modes are fighting for dominance. Sometimes one may be in the mode of goodness, but then the mode of passion attacks. And we see that in so many histories, like the history of Vishwamitra Muni. You know, he was a Kshatriya, decided he wanted to become a Brahmana, performed severe austerities. You can't even imagine, and sitting in meditation, but the mode of passion attacked when he heard the tinkling of the ankle bells of Menaka. So he fell down. So the modes of nature are constantly shifting and changing, and one mode is fighting for dominance over the other. And this business of thinking yourself to be God, even though one may seem to be very good or very renounced, like the Mayavadis, these impersonalists, they live a very renounced lifestyle. Prabhupada said to his young sannyasis, when he gave sannyasis some of them, that you can't, you know, I'm not asking you to live like that. You can't live like that. They sleep on the floor in cold and eat very simply. And, you know, he wasn't asking his sannyasis to follow that line. So they are very, they're not faking it. They live very severe lifestyles. But because they don't have attraction to service to Krishna, they fall down. That verse that says that. Harava bhaktasya kato mahadguna. They fall down because they have no... If you're not a devotee of Krishna, yasyati bhaktir bhagavad akinchana. If you don't have bhakti to Krishna, then you don't have any good qualities. They are riding on the chariot of the mind. So sometimes the mind will, put you in a nice lifestyle, looks externally to be okay. But internally, because they're not bhaktas, then they are prone to fall down at any moment. Maya can yank them down. And the last snare of Maya is whispering in your ear that you are actually God. You don't need to worship God. And so they say like that. And Prabhupada is very upset with them for saying like that. Why are you worshiping God, they say? There are so many gods loitering in the street. Daridra Narayan. So Prabhupada said they are so foolish. Narayan is never Daridra. Narayana means the source of and the shelter of all living entities. So how can the source and the shelter of all living entities be Daridra? Poor. Never. It's just foolish misconception on their part. And because of that offense, even though they live what seems to be a mode of goodness lifestyle, beyond mode of goodness, so severe austerities and penances, still they fall down. Or they become philanthropists again. They want to open hospitals and schools and stuff like that, which is mode of goodness activity, but it's not the highest. The highest activity is to be a devotee of Krishna. Because that's our natural position, to be Krishna's eternal servant. And until we again take up that mood of service to Krishna, any external manifestation of goodness or spirituality is just a show. And that show can come crashing down at any moment. All right, anything else, Bhakti Devin? Oh, sorry, Maharaj had his hand up. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you for a wonderful class.
We need a little more volume on that mic. That's the first line.
Is that better?
The
volume?
Yeah, we still need it. Just a tad more. I can barely hear it.
Is this okay now, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. In regard to the last question, I was just going to add a comment, and that is the fact of the matter is that everyone who enters into this material world and was born in it, no matter what economic class he may be in, everyone has a certain amount of insanity. He has this idea that I not only am I God, but I have to prove to myself and prove to everyone else that I am God. And therefore, everything that he does is of a competitive nature, is to prove either to himself, prove to his parents, prove to his brothers and sisters, prove to his other peers that, yes, I am the Lord. And it goes on through the material life. So this is a kind of insanity, but it becomes very pathological only when actually one forgets that he is really a human being who has aspirations and can achieve certain goals. When he no longer thinks that he is a human being, but that he is God, and that there's no question about it that I'm God, and therefore everyone should respect me as God, this becomes a difficulty, and this is when it reaches a point where a person can no longer navigate in society and is generally put in a mental hospital when he walks around thinking I'm Jesus Christ, or I'm Mohammed, or I'm anyone of these great personalities. So therefore we have to understand from the very get-go, we all have this tendency to want to lord it over, to prove, to show, to display that we are all important, and everyone should recognize me as that. And as I said, that can become gradually, slowly pathological, and then we become truly insane.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Back to Devin, and then we'll end. We're getting there.
Hey Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. How do we understand that Nityananda or Balaram is the first expansion? Because as you said in the class, like all the forms and all like the paraphernalia of the Lord are eternal. So how, if they're always existing, is there a first?
Yeah, excellent question. We accept that because that's what's stated in the scriptures. And that's just for our understanding. It's not that there was a time when Balaram did not exist and then he popped out of Krishna. No, all of these forms of Krishna, including us, the Vibhinsa expansions, everything, and we're all eternal. But still, Ete Changsa Kalapungsa, Krishna is to Bhagavan Swam. Krishna is the source of all expansions. So, or as Lord Brahma says, Ishwara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karya. He has no beginning, but he's the beginning of everything else, of everyone else. So it's not easy. That's why our philosophy is Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. Inconceivable. See, if we forget that inconceivable portion, then you can't understand anything. Because we try to think that everything should be logical and fit into my little brain, otherwise I don't accept it. But our little brain cannot encompass the unlimited. We can't. Our limited little heads cannot encompass the unlimited absolute truth. So, achintya beda beda tatva, inconceivable, simultaneously one and different. So, Lord Balaram is eternally different from Krishna, but at the same time, simultaneously one. And that goes for all the expansions of the Lord. And similarly, us, we are simultaneously one with the Lord, qualitatively, but quantitatively not. So, it's a big, big topic to try to understand, but we accept that Krishna is the origin, even though everything is eternal. But that's not, on the other hand, so difficult to understand. If Krishna is eternal and all other manifestations come from Him, that they're also eternal, and there's no incompatibility there. Since He's eternal and He encompasses everything, then everything is eternal. Understand? Okay. Jai. Rantaraj Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Archita Das Prabhu ki jai. Sorry for going to the world.